Amen. It's good to see everybody out at the home group meeting tonight. And this is our first home group meeting for the year 2015. We had a wonderful year last year. And so this is our first home group meeting in January. And I'd like to, I was just asked right before I started recording about the home, or about the website, because this recording will go on the website. And last year we had 117,000 hits. That was an increase of 5,000 hits. And of course, they hit us when someone, connects on your website. And I get a lot of emails and from people saying how much they enjoy the website and how much they enjoy the home group meetings. And so it's just, it's just amazing how the Lord has been blessing the website there. And there's a topic that I'm going to discuss as I share tonight. One of the topics that I get a lot of emails from on, especially ending of 2014 and kind of looking at what 2015 is kind of shaping up to. And so so I would just like to I'll be talking about that a little bit. There was another topic that was kind of current. It was about some of the new things that I share when I minister. Often I get a lot of comments like, "Wow, Dave, you say some things that is just amazing," or they're just, it's the first time I ever heard something like that. I always encourage them to do two things. One is lay aside your bias. Because if you hear something new in the Lord and you approach that with a bias of what you know and what you think and stuff like that, then you'll never be able to receive something that is new. So we need to lay aside our biases and hold that before with the Holy Spirit. Hold whatever that is, and in time the Lord will be able to open up that new truth or that new understanding or that new revelation that the Lord has brought to you, because all truth is progressive, and all truth is not ours, it's God's. But truth is always progressive, and oftentimes when we hear something new or there's a new revelation, we always want to reject that because it's new and it's going to require us to change the way we think or we want to act. And I get a lot of emails, surrounding that, and so I just want to ship that in for a lot of people to address that issue corporately, so I won't have to send individual emails out all the time, that everyone that listens to the website and stuff will be able to, hold what they have heard before the Lord, and let the Holy Spirit administer that to them as they lay aside their bias, which is very, very, very good. But Brother Darrell, thank you very much for asking about the website. Amen. Okay, let's go ahead and get into what I would like to be sharing tonight. This will be Wilderness Truths from Modern Times, number 19. I scratched my head today when I saw that it was number 19. That means it's been 19 months that we have been here and we've been recording and sharing and just, so many good things. And as a way of what we normally do, we always look at a couple points from last month to kind of get our spirit moving and thinking back, to where we were last month. And so there's two points that I would like to, I would like for us to consider as we are in the wilderness of sin, S-I-N, and that is not, to know right or do wrong, but this is actually a wilderness in the Middle East called sin, and spiritually it is a wilderness where soldiers are made. And the children of Israel were made and prepared for battle and conquest in the wilderness of sin. And that's where we are now. We are in the wilderness of sin. And last month, we looked at two areas. One is the diet that they were eating. And the other one was a weapon called whatsoever. So one point was from the diet, and that is God has specific feedings for a specific time and an occasion to make us what He wants us to be. Now that is a very, very important point, that God has specific food, specific things, specific spiritual things for us at a specific time in our life so that He can make us what He wants us to be, not what we want to be. God has certain lessons and certain teachings, and He's got certain food that He wants to feed us. Deuteronomy and Matthew says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God has specific bread just for us at a specific time in our life for a specific occasion for us to walk through that. Isn't that wonderful how God prepares us? He says He prepares a table before us. But there is a specific time and a specific diet for us so that we can become what He wants us to become, not what we want to become. And that's a very, very important point. We always want to be what we want to be, but God doesn't want us to be what we want to be. God wants us to be what He wants us to be. And then we'll be moving in right. Amen. And the second point, and it's a very, very important point, and that is the word, and we looked at the word whatsoever. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes, and that is a verb. And whatsoever, I don't care what it is, whatsoever that is born of God, John 3:6 says that which is spirit, and that which is flesh, but whatsoever is born of God overcomes, that's the verb, or the noun form of that word is victory. It overcomes the world, self, and the devil. So whatever is born of God, whatever in our life, whatsoever in our life, overcomes in this order, and we looked at this last month, this order, the world first. We must be able to allow God to work in our life and kill the desire for the things of the world in us. If He cannot do that, then there will be a hook, there will be a draw that Satan can use to get us. And so we must be able to come to a place, John said, love not the world nor the things in it. So we must allow God to be able to destroy our love for the world. If He can do that, then God can go after our love for ourselves. Don't you know no one loves you any more than you? Don't we know we love you? Look in the mirror. No one loves us like ourselves. Wow. But if we can allow God to kill our love for the world, then God can go after our love for ourselves. We can't love our brothers and sisters if we love ourselves. You know, you can't save yourself and somebody else. Somebody has to die. But if we can allow God to kill the world in us, then we're allowed God to kill the love for ourselves, our selfishness, our self-seeking, our self-centeredness, and all of those things. And if God can kill our love for the world and our love for ourselves, then God will be able to empower us that we'll be able to go against the devil and spiritual things. And so that is the order. That is the order. We must allow God to bring us into victory. Whatsoever is born of God, it overcomes, or victory the noun, the world, the self, and will overcome sin and the devil. Amen. So those were 2 points that we looked at last month. And this month we're going to look at Wilderness Truth of Modern Times, number 19. And the verse there, if you have your notes, just right there, it's taken from Corinthians 10:4. It says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." And if you got a, you know, if you got a ink pen and you got your Bible open, I would recommend underlining "are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Now remember, whatsoever is born of God overcomes. But our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And strongholds are areas in our life that we depend on for strength. Wow, let me say that again. Strongholds are areas in our life that we depend on for strength that are not of God. They are areas in our life that prop us up. They are areas in our life that we lean on for our own understanding. The Bible says, lean not on your own understanding, right? Well, strongholds are areas in our life that we lean on those understandings. Amen. Carnality is failure in the kingdom of God. Point one. Carnality is failure in the kingdom of God. To be carnally minded is death, the Bible says. The carnal mind is enmity with God, or is hatred, or is an enemy. To be carnally minded as a Christian is an enemy against God. If we attempt to have carnal weapons in the kingdom of God, we are not fighting for God. We are fighting against God. Now, I would say, I have done this. I have used carnal weapons in my life to help God. Or, I was thinking that I was helping God. But the Bible here says that our warfare are not carnal. We cannot use carnal weapons, weapons that are not born of God, to do the things of God. Amen? Because if we do, we are fighting against God. Saul of Tarsus, who later became the Apostle Paul, was using carnal weapons to fight for God. Thus, he was fighting against God. Anytime we use our carnal weapons, the things that are not born of God, to operate in the church or whatever, then actually we are fighting against God. He was not fighting for God. We must not, underline that, we must not use carnal weapons when working for God. We must not do that. And carnal weapons are things that we want to see happen. Our thinking, all of the showmanship and all of that stuff. Just turn on Christian TV and you can see all of these carnal weapons that are being used, and that is not what we're supposed to do. God had to arrest Saul on his way to Damascus. Don't you know God knows how to arrest us? I should get a big amen there. Now, if Sister and Brother Woodford was here, you know, I know I would get kind of get a witness here. But, you know, God knows how to arrest us. And that's a wonderful thing in our life. But God, he had to arrest Saul on the road to Damascus when he planned to arrest Christians and haul them into prison. He thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was doing God a favor. But he was zealous for God. He would have done anything for God, carnality. He would have done anything. But anything he was doing for God was carnal. It was not born of God. The Lord is asking us. I'm sorry. The Lord is not asking us to put our 2 cents in. Oh no. In the repertory they want. He is wanting that. Which is born of him, that which is surrendered to him, and that which, I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time reading tonight, which is born of him and not against him. Amen. Okay. Often zealous projections carnality. Zealousness projects carnality. We have to be very, very careful when we are very zealous about things, and it's very, very good in our life to be joyful, and it's very, very important for us to be, you know, want to get it done and stuff. But we got to be very, very careful and not get over into being zealous. The rich young ruler was a very zealous man. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. He ran after Jesus. He knelt down. He did all of those things. But the Bible says that he was a very zealous man, and he could not sell out. A zealous person in God cannot sell out. There is not the surrender. There is not the commitment that God is looking for us to be able to do those things in God. We must be very, very careful and not get over into zealousness, because and that always projects carnality. A man cannot give what he does not have. Did you know that? That's a spiritual principle, that a man cannot give what he does not have. And so either we are going to be a zealous man and we're going to go and do all of this stuff, or we're going to be a committed man, a dedicated man, and someone that you can count on. And usually it's that committed, dedicated man that gets the things done in God, and not the zealous man that goes out there and just does things to do things. This is a very confusing area for a lot of Christians, especially for new Christians that want to see things happen, you know, for God. Well, you know what? God can get a lot more done without us doing a lot of things than need be. And we just need to kind of do the things that God wants us to do, and then, you know, things will work out okay. Amen. All that we are and all that we possess of our character, for our physical body and our minds, we are to yield to God. Romans 13:12 says this. This is a tremendous verse. If you got your Bible out, I would underline some other words here. It says the night is far spent. Okay, I am having a hard time closing this light here. No, I got it, sweetheart. The night is far spent, and the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Now, underline "let us" right there. Let us. And notice it doesn't say God. It says "let us," right? Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Wow. God is not going to cast it off, and God is not putting on the armor of light. The Bible tells us to do that. Let us, therefore, cast off the works of darkness. Let us, therefore, put on the armor of light. The works of darkness can be very, very shiny. Remember, all that shines is not made of gold. The works of darkness can look like the works of light. And remember, Satan was known as the angel of light. Satan was also the one that led worship in heaven. So everything that sounds holy, looks holy, all that good stuff, may not be holy. Shiny things in God most often are carnality. Let me say that again. Shiny things in God most often are carnality. Looks holy, sounds holy, must be holy. Not so. Whatsoever is born of God is holy. Whatsoever is born of God, is holy. Amen. We must take off to be able to put on. Now, this is another spiritual principle. So we look at that spiritual principle that a man cannot give what he does not have. And this is another spiritual principle that before we can put anything on in God, we must take something off. We must take it off. God is not going to say, take that off. Before we can put on salvation, we first have to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, and we have to take off sin. Before we can put on light, we have to take off darkness. That's our choice. We either accept light or we accept darkness. This is a spiritual principle. And so that's what Paul is saying right here. Let us cast off the works of darkness. And unless we cast off the works of darkness, then we'll never, ever be able to put on the works of light. We must take off to be able to put on. And that is our choice. God never forces anyone to do anything. Never. Isn't that amazing? If you're a Christian, you have made the choice to be a Christian. You have looked at the benefits, ramifications, all that good stuff. The Holy Spirit was drawing you. And you have made the choice to put on the light. And before you can put on the light, you must take off the darkness. That is a spiritual principle that will be time eternal. Amen. Satan has many Christians bound in some of these areas. Amen. A believer cannot get along with his brother. Wow. How many times in church have we seen that? A believer cannot get along with his brother. What is that? That is the work of darkness. You cannot call that work of the light, can you? No, you can't. A Christian is troubled by nagging, recurring fears. Now, believe it or not, of all the emails that I get on email from people from around the world, the number one concern is fear. Is fear, and it's nagging fears. We must not allow. Now, hope you're listening. And everyone here, we must not bring those fears from 2014, those nagging fears that we have. And we all have those nagging fears. Fear of death is the number one nagging fear, believe it or not. But we must not allow those nagging fears that we had in 2014 and drag those into 2015. We must stop them right here, tonight, as you're listening. As we're listening here, we must not allow those nagging fears to continue in our lives in 2015. We must take those fears off. We must take those fears off and put on the truth of the Word of God, and that is verses like, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. all of those wonderful promises in the Bible. And that's how that will work. But recurring nagging fears.
Amen.
Is it the love of God that brings fear? No. It is the work of darkness. It is not the work of God. Satan moves in if we allow him to. He is most clever. I'll tell you one thing. The longer I go in God, the more I see my love for God, the more I see my need for God, because the more I can see how subtle Satan can be. Things that I thought that was religious and godly and even in myself. Oh, my Lord. Lord, have mercy. Satan, make no mistake, is clever. He takes and he maintains a foothold in the lives of many Christians, and he binds them in specific areas. Fear is a huge area of defeat in our lives if we allow it to. Again, fear. Fear, if we allow it to. We must not allow our minds. We must not allow our minds to drift. Drift. We must not allow our minds to wander and imagine things. We must not allow our minds to do that. Because if we allow our minds to wander, if we allow our minds to drift, then we will start thinking about things that are not of God. And this thought leads to that thought, and this thought leads, and the next thing you know, we are way over here thinking about things that are not of God. The Bible gives us an answer to that. In Philippians 4, 8 and 9, it tells us to go ahead and think on these things. And it gives you a list. Think on things that are pure, things that are good. I mean, it goes on, there's like 10 or 15 things to think on. We are to think on. That word think there means to meditate. We are to meditate on those things that are good. We are to meditate on those things that God told us. And if we spend time meditating on those things that God told us to meditate on, and we meditate on those things that God has promised us and all of this stuff, then our mind, just like a battleship, when it settles into the water, it displaces all of the water out, and it goes down to the waterline. And that's what happens in our mind, because our mind is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And if we fill up our mind with things that are not of God, and we start letting our mind drift here and drift there and all of this stuff, then what's going to happen, you know, it's going to fill up our mind. But if we displace all of those negative things in our mind by the verses of the Bible, by the words that God has told us, it's like a battleship, it will go ahead and move it away. Let me give you an example. I don't know if you ever seen the movie Schindler's List, and it was like the 50th, you know, whatever, and it was Steven Spielberg, very graphic about the Holocaust, you know. And so Karen and I watched it, I guess it was it on Monday, and man, it's a very graphic movie. I don't know if you ever seen it or not. But I couldn't sleep. Man, I mean, I crawled into bed and I was laying there and I was rolling over and all I could think about was that movie. And it was terrible. I got up and read the Bible. I'll tell you, I got up and read the Bible. And I mean, you know, I had to displace those things that I saw. The things we allow into these eye gates and these ear gates. Wow, wow, wow. We've got to be careful. We've got to be careful. Because if we allow things into our eye gate, through this eye gate, through this ear gate, it will get to our mind and it will feed fear in us. We must be very, very careful. And it was amazing, you know, this happened because I have seen Schindler's List a number of times before. I think I've seen it like twice before. But one thing I noticed is when I saw it the first time, I wasn't where I am in the Lord now. And I had a different heart condition, and there was a different dealing and judgment of God in my life. And so my heart condition wasn't maybe as soft and as sensitive to the violence and stuff. And that's why I believe it really impacted me. Because it was the same movie, the only thing different was me. I was a different man.
My heart was softer.
I was more sensitive to the violence and stuff like that. And it was just, it was just really a strange thing. I got it from the Bible and took care of that. But we must discipline our minds. We must discipline our mind and read, you know, and think, and you know, of those things that are of a good report. If not, then we will get over areas that will that is not of God. Amen. Paul was not, he was not writing to sinners when he wrote, "Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness." Oh no, he was writing to the church. You know, he was writing to Christians at the church at Rome who were being persecuted, who were being at that time fed to the lions. I mean, you know, they were going through hell on earth, and Paul was writing to the church at Rome, and he was telling them to cast off darkness so that they could put on the light. He was addressing Christians in the church at Rome, and he included himself. Let us, amen. Romans 13 and 14 goes on. Let us. There it is again. Let us. Underline that in your Bible. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and in envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't put on unless you take off, right? Don't do all of these things, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Now, you know what was amazing? Paul was writing this to the church at Rome because this was going on. This, all of these things was going on. What was going on? Rioting, drunkenness, chambering, you know, I mean, strife, envy, all of this stuff was going on. And Paul was writing a letter of correction. Don't do this. Put on Christ. Wow, wow, wow. Put on Christ. We as Christians can allow darkness and, you know, things, you know, things not of God and not sin into our life. And that's some of the things that was right here. Things like bad habits, thoughts, and motives, intention into our lives. And we must not allow those things, you know, into our lives. Amen? Yes. Amen. Do not fabricate your own provisions for the battle to which God has called you. Be satisfied with the provisions that God provides. Do not worry about getting the spiritual provisions that you think you need. God will provide for you everything that you need all along the way. Amen? Everything. So many times we think we need this and we think that. No, what we need is more of God, and He will give us all those things that we need. God provided manna for the children of Israel. They were dissatisfied with that. They wanted to do their own thing. They manifested the works of the flesh, the desires of the flesh. The works of darkness was still in them. The works of the darkness was in the children of Israel, the first generation for 40 years, and all of them fell in the wilderness and never made it into the promised land. Only Joshua and Caleb were the only two from the first group that came out. It was their children, the second generation, that went in there, and still, even though they saw all of the miracles and all the things that God did for them, still, the works of darkness was still in them, even when they crossed the Jordan. Amen? The works of darkness was still in them. They wanted provisions which would fulfill the desires of their flesh. They were tired of the manna. And the word manna is, what is it? They were tired of the manna. They wanted meat, so God gave them quail. And they wanted this and they wanted that. They were not happy with what God has provided us. Let us be willing to put off the hindering factors, the works of darkness, and gladly accept the provisions of God. Because God knows what we need. Because He knows what we are to become. God knows what we need. God knows what it's going to take, Barbara, to make you Barbara. He knows everything that you need. And He has those provisions there. He has everything waiting for you to receive that. Because He knows what we're going to become. He's got a plan and a purpose for all of our life. So He knows what we need, to bring us to completion and to fulfillment. Amen. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses," guess what? Let us, underline that in your Bible, let us lay aside every work. I don't see where it says God says, "I will lay every side of weight out of your life." Let us. It's up to us. It's our choice. Let us lay aside every work. And the sin which does easily beset us. So there's two things moving there. It's the sin and every weight. There's sins and weights right here. It doesn't, you know, it's not all lumped together. It says, let us lay aside every weight. There are weights. What are weights? Weights are things that move us out of God. Things that move us out of God, like bad habits, bad thoughts, aren't a sin. Bad habits aren't a sin. Thoughts, motives, wrong motives, why we do things for God, intentions, all of these things are weights. Let us lay aside all of those. And the sins, the sins to know right but do wrong, that so easily beset us. And guess what? Here's those words again. Let us turn with patience. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And what is that race? The race is the plan that God has for our life. The race that we run is the plan that God has for our life. And He knows what it takes to make us the champions that we need to be. Believers are more adept at taking on hindering weights. They are taking on hindering weights than they are laying them aside. We look at pleasant and harmless looking things in the world. We desire, we reach out, and we take them. It's just like when Karen and I watched Schindler's List. Boy, that was a great lesson to me. It would be to our advantage to look away from such things and take a longer look and a more intensive look at Jesus. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Wow, Hebrews 12. Well, what a wonderful, just a tremendous verse. We need not be looking at all these things in the world. We just need to be looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We must keep looking at Jesus if we desire to sit down with Him. What a thought. Well, that was worth coming for tonight. Yes, we must keep looking at Jesus if we desire to be seated with Him in heavenly places. And the heavenly places I talked about in Colossians is not, when we die and go to heaven. God desires that we be seated with Him in heavenly places now.
Yeah.
Right now. For us to be seated with Him in heavenly and righteous places, in heavenly places now. And if we cannot be seated with Him in heavenly places now, we probably won't be able to be seated with Him in heavenly places when we die. God desires for us to have eternal life now. John 17:3 says, "Now this is life eternal," or "this is eternal life, that you shall know God." Wow, that's eternal life. Eternal life is for us now. God desires for us to be seated in heavenly places now. Both weights and sin can easily beset us or waylay us. Wow. I'm reminded of when I was a little boy growing up in West Virginia, went to Assemblies of God Church, Howard Reckley. And I could tell you stories about Howard Reckley. Love this man. Oh, I could just tell you story after story. He always would sing the song Jerusalem. You know, you ever heard that? Jerusalem, lift up your gates. Tremendous. They usually play it around Easter time. And he was about that tall and about that big. He didn't need a PA system. He could just bounce the words off the back of the wall. And he would go, Jerusalem. I mean, wow, your hair would stand up, you know. And he was this old line guy. And this was like in the 70s, early 70s, and there was a big struggle in the church. And the big struggle in the church, and I'm talking corporately, was TV. Is TV good or is TV bad?
And there was a huge struggle. And Brother Reckley would not buy a TV. He said a TV was bad. And all of my life, I always thought about that. His kids, they had nine kids.
He didn't have a TV, so, you know, anyway. Had nine kids. But anyway, some of the kids, you get that later. But anyway,
a lot of the kids would come over and watch our TV, because we had a TV, you know. And I often, you know, I struggled with that growing up, and of course, as you see, voila. But, you know, he was right. I had to conclude.
Amen.
He was right. You know, America would be better off if we didn't have, you know, the monster TV.
Amen.
And now we got computers and, you know, all of these things of the world, you know. You know, they're easily besetting us. You know, they're gentle and they're easy. And, you know, we just kind of reach out and we just take them, you know. And you know, he was right.
And so, you know, he's now with the Lord. But anyways, you know, I just, you know, want him to know he's right. It's a big good time. Usually at the end of the year, I usually wait before the Lord, and I ask, you know, I try to ask the Lord to kind of share some things with me. I know it's in my Bible. Maybe it's not in my Bible. To share some things with me about, here it is. Maybe 2015 would hold for us, and this is for everybody that's listening over the internet. And these are some thoughts that I got from the Lord in December about 2015, and at the churches that I was ministering in, you know, around that time that I would go and minister in, I was ministering on change, how change. And so these are some of the thoughts that the Lord gave me. Amen. Change is here for 2015 and beyond. Life as we know it is no more. Look at the news. Look at the news. Life as we know it. Life as we know it is no more. The church as we know it can be no more. All of our playing church needs to be behind us. All of our playing church, we must get serious, needs to be behind us. I have raised the stakes. I have raised the stakes. We must get serious about knowing God. And I quoted John 17:3. And we must fall in love with Jesus again. Amen. We must fall in love with Jesus again, because Colossians 2:3 says, "In whom are hidden, in whom is Jesus, but in whom are hidden all." Now the Bible says all, it says all. Are hidden all of the treasures in Christ. In Jesus is hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We must fall in love again with Jesus. Amen. If what we are doing in God is not conforming us into the image of Christ, and that's God's goal, it's not to make us rich and happy and content and famous and all that, you know, good looking, and, you know, God's goal in our life is to conform us into the character and the image of His Son. And whatever we are doing in God is not conforming us into Christ's image, then we are in deception. If what we are doing in God is not conforming us into the image of Christ, then we are in deception. Be not deceived by the nominal church activities, traditions, and all the showmanship that you see. Our prayer should be, change me, O Lord. Change me, O Lord. It is always in life, at the heart of every issue, it is always an issue of my heart. It's
always an issue of my heart. It's not an issue of Karen's heart or your brother Luther's heart, if we would have a disagreement or whatever. It's not an issue of your heart. The issue is my heart. Change me. It is always an issue of my heart. Amen. So those were some thoughts that the Lord kind of shared with me at the end of 2014. But it's very sobering. It says, change is here for 2015 and beyond. Life as we know it is no more. It is no more. Some parting thoughts. What believer wants to be defeated? I don't know any believer that wants to be defeated. No Christian wants to live a life, a defeated life. No. There really should not be, death with a believer. There's no death in a believer. There is no way to be defeated in God. God trains us for victory. Remember, we're in the wilderness of sin, where God was training the children of Israel to be victorious in battle. He was giving them the diet. He was giving them weapons. He was teaching them the lessons and the skills that needed for them to be successful. Because God always trains His children for victory, not defeat, for the conquest and not for defeat. And it is our choice whether we are defeated or not. Isn't that amazing? It is our choice. God's training us. He's given us the tools. He's given us the done. He's given us everything that we need to be victorious. But if we are defeated, it is our choice. It is our choice whether we're defeated or not. But the question I have for tonight and those that are listening, why is there defeat in some lives? Why is there some defeat in some lives? We all must answer this question. We must all answer that question. For us singularly, we must answer that question. If there is defeat in our life, if there's areas of defeat in our life, we must answer that question and see why is there defeat in our life, and then we have to take that defeat off. God won't do it. We have to take that defeat off. Use Him. Use the things that He gives us to empower us and strengthen us. Paul said that I would be strengthened with might in the inward man. As God strengthens our inward man, then we're able to take off that defeat, and so that we can put on the light. Amen. Does the believer have the willingness to take the correct direction? Wow. Romans 6:13 continues, neither yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as though that they are lived from death, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. Not all members are apparent. And members, what Paul, now he's not talking like a member of a church, like, you know, a church has many, many members, but Paul is talking about that word members is our sum total of our thoughts, of our personalities, of our feelings, of our emotions. That is the members that Paul is talking about. Not all of our members are apparent. We have members which cannot be seen. We can't see our thoughts. We can't see our feelings. Well, sometimes we can see our feelings, but all of these things, they're not very, you know, they're not always seen. We have abilities. We have partly composed of abstract desires, ambitions, and the mind, etc. There are as much a part as us of us as our hands. We can yield these abstract qualities. There are entertainers who yield their talents in very questionable ways, and there are others with the same talents who yield them as an instrument of righteousness. Do you know what the number one common denominator of all people on American Idol? I don't know if you ever watched American Idol on TV? But the number one common denominator of all of the winners on American Idol, and there were males and females and different colors and stuff, but the number one common denominator was that almost all of them started singing in church. Yeah. They all started singing in church, but they yielded their members, their talent and their abilities, their personality, They yielded their members to things of unrighteousness, and they did not use them for righteousness. And that's what Paul was saying here. Do not yield your members, your thoughts, your abilities, your talents, and all of those things to unrighteousness, but yield them to righteousness. What happens when we answer the question, why is there defeat in our lives? Wow. You know, either we will continue in it, in the defeat, or we will change direction. When we ask that question, why is there, if there's defeat in our life, and we ask that question, why is there defeat in our life, and we come up with the answer, because of this or because of that, then the choice is ours whether we continue in that defeat or we change direction. Amen? And asking the question is the beginning of the change. Asking that question, is there defeat in my life? That is the beginning of the change. And it is a matter of just changing direction. Are we willing to take the proper direction in God's training program? He provides specific direction for us. Wow. In God's training program, we have a training program that God has tailored for each and every person. My training program is different than my wife's. Sherry, your training program is different than your brother Luther's. But God has tailored a specific training program, and He provides specific directions in that. Defeat is only defeat if you get stuck in it. Isn't that amazing? That's so amazing in God. In God, there is no defeat. We may fail, but failure is only failure when we get stuck in it. If we stay down there in the failure, then it's failure. But if we fail and we get up and we ask God to forgive us and we just smartly march on, then that's not failure. That's not defeat. But when we stay down there in the defeat, we don't change that direction, then that's failure. But don't try that at work. Don't try that at work. Boy, you fail at work, you're gone. You know? But in God, it's different. If you fail, it's okay. It's okay. Stop it. If you're sinning, stop it. If you're failing, stop it. Get up. Ask forgiveness and march on. The question is, do we stay the course of the defeat? Do we stay the course of failure? Or do we change direction and cast off the darkness so that we can put on the glorious light that God has for us? Our Heavenly Father, as we come to you now, dear Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, Father, Lord God, for your wonderful word, Father, Lord God. Thank you for your spirit, Father, Lord, that I felt tonight, Father, Lord God, and for the teaching, Father, Lord God. Just bless this word to all hearts, Father, Lord God, and keep us, Father, Lord. And Lord, if we answer that question, is there defeat in our life, Father, Lord God? Give us the courage, Father, Lord God. Give us the answer and give us the courage, Father, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, so that we will change direction, Father, Lord God. And we'll be able to cast off, Father, Lord God, darkness, so that we can put on the light, Father. Lord, bless all those that did not come out tonight, Father, Lord. Bless all those that are listening over the internet, Father. And Lord, just be with us, Father, Lord God. In 2015, Father, Lord God, no fear, Father, Lord God. We will not allow fear to carry those nagging fears, Father, in our life. We will not, Father, Lord God, carry them into 2015, Father. Fear of failure, fear of this, or fear of that, or whatever, Father, Lord God. We're looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, Father, Lord, and the provision that you provide for us. And we just thank you and we praise you, Father. Lord, we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.